everybody, and welcome to I'm Ryan, joined this week by James McAnally.
Hi.
Steuben Suburban.
What's up?
And Michael Bell, comma Wesley.
Yo.
How are you doing, Mr. comma Wesley?
Doing all right. I was curious to see where you were going.
I simply wanted a creative way to introduce that we have a special guest on this week's podcast.
What's up?
Yeah, special guest.
Star of stage and screen and sound and our hearts.
And our hearts.
Beautiful. I felt it.
But Wes is a UT alum just like the rest of us, and he is a TSTV alum just like the rest of us. And he's also a contributing member of Hyperdrive Pictures on occasion. And what else do you do around here, Wes?
I play a lot of games. I'm doing okay in Hearthstone right now.
Nice.
I'm a dungeon master. I like Settlers of Catan and pina coladas.
And long walks on the beach.
Yeah, long walks on the beach.
Guys, getting caught in the rain.
And I like getting caught in the rain.
Too. I think this is the first time. Guys, we all produced Video Game Hour Live.
This is an all VGHL
producers podcast.
Awesome.
This is the...
Thank God we finally got Michael out of here so we could claim that.
I've never played Settlers of Catan, actually. I've heard it's awesome.
It's a good game.
I feel like I should be brought out from under the rock in tabletop
games. start reviewing board games.
That music. There was none in this movie game.
If there's any board games to be brought up out from under the rock of, it would be Settlers of Catan. If that's discounting stuff like Monopoly, of course.
Yeah. I have played. I played my fair share of Monopoly.
Risk. Ever heard of it?
I want to play some Risk. I played it once and I had a blast.
I've only played it a few times, but it takes so long.
It does take a long time.
Wait, that was the only time you played Risk?
The one and only time I've ever played Risk. And you actually, that game intimidates me, but Ryan actually explained it in a way that was really easy to understand, so I was actually able to get really into it.
It's pure luck. So
really?
Absolutely.
I mean,
you roll like 200 die over the course of the game.
Dice, yeah.
Catan or Monopoly? Actually,
Risk.
Both are Risk. Actually, all of those games are kind of luck.
Absolutely.
any game that involves dice is pretty luck.
Wes, you're also a background actor. That's what you're doing out here in Los Angeles.
That's my current profession.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah. I worked on a lot of different TV shows. Shameless, New Girl.
New Girl, I've heard.
New Girl, yeah. Yeah, pretty good. No, I've worked on tons. I can't remember all of them.
You and Zoe?
Me and Zoe, yeah, we had a thing.
Tight. You guys are tight.
Tight.
Buds.
you
were on Breaking
Bad. Tight. Yeah.
Well, excellent to have you on, Wes.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And you watched the movie this week, right?
Oh, yeah. I watched it this week.
What was the movie this week?
Yeah, what was it again?
I believe it was Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
A plus is all around right now.
Oh, actually, A double plus.
Oh, that's right. We had to raise the bar.
A double plus.
A double.
We're all obligated to give it A double pluses.
I actually do love that movie.
Someone actually posted on the Hyperdrive page that we should do something about that movie, either as a video or a podcast.
Oh,
I told them, oh, don't worry.
Yeah, it'll happen.
It's happening.
We need to do that, yeah.
Steven, how have you been?
I've been good. I'm super excited because I get my cast off tomorrow. In a little over 12 hours from now, I'll have two hands again.
Woo. Nice. Woo.
Woo. And then shortly after that, I fly back to Texas for a fun Easter weekend. Get to visit Austin and San Antonio and see a bunch of people I haven't seen in way too long.
That's good.
Boring.
They don't let you fly with a broken hand, right?
Yeah.
You had to get the cast off before you could fly.
Yeah.
It's like how you can't fly pregnant. It's just...
Yeah.
If you're anything medical related...
Get off my plane.
Get off the planes. Just get off all of them.
All of them.
You can't fasten
your seatbelt. I'm sorry, you're too sick to ride our plane.
Broken bones.
We don't allow the sickly
sounds
on
contagious.
Our plane.
We live in a hermetically sealed tube for the next 3 hours, and we cannot afford to have people with sick people on our plane, but I just have a broken hand. It's not contagious.
Sir, don't argue.
We can't take that risk.
Like, are you a scientist? I wasn't aware that you were a scientist.
I literally am a scientist with a broken hand. Just... How about you, James? How have you been?
I've been okay. I've been basking in the warmth that is unemployment for the past little while now. It's all right. But I've been trying to start my own YouTube channel as well.
Traitor! No, I'm kidding.
Traitor! But yeah, that's happening. My room right now is just like a bunch of makeshift lighting and like just like not even like good sort of lighting. Just like, oh, this looks tall enough. I'll just clamp this on here and then maybe, oh yeah, I'll just put a chair here and clamp it on there. And then it's not perfect, but it looks okay.
How far so we have sunk.
It sounds
from...
like a job right there.
Yeah.
It
sounds like you're gainfully employed. By the sound of it,
I'm self-employed. That's what I'll say. Yes. When people ask me, what do you do? Oh, I'm self-employed. Exactly do you do?
I don't pay myself anything. I'm a freelance.
Very
emphasis on the free.
My boss is so stingy. Who's your boss? Oh, me.
Well, guys, I have had a roller coaster of a week, let me tell you.
Yes.
I have finally achieved the 3,000 player point milestone in Street Fighter 4.
This is true. Slow clap. I can't really, Wes, clapping every
podcast since he's gotten his hand hurt, we've been like clapping. Come on, Steven. Why aren't you doing
it? Did they get you in on this? No.
They put me up to it.
The first time James says, "All right, everybody, join hands." And I go, "Really, James? Join hands?"
After this week, we're never going to do anything hand-related again.
I'll be the only one.
Put your hands away.
I'll be like, guys, that deserves a round of applause.
Please hold your hands until the end.
But yeah, that's it's taken me a little longer to get to that point than it probably should have. But I feel like I've made some real progress in the last couple months, and I finally started to understand the game after playing it for almost 3 years. And just in time for Ultra to come out and erase all my points. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Isn't that great? You got all of that about fighting games.
Does it literally erase all your points, or you just have to start with a completely new game from zero?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
But like, yeah, you could go to the old game and your points would still be there. Like, you still have proof that you made
it
that
far. I suppose, except I'm just going
to take a screenshot.
I'm just going to get the $15 upgrade, and it'll effectively overwrite Arcade Edition. So
you got to get a screenshot.
I did.
Didn't you just say that? Screenshot?
Yeah.
Yes.
I posted on Reddit and got zero upvotes. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Reddit.
That wow, you didn't even get like the default one?
No,
upvote?
I got one, but somebody downloaded it.
Oh, no.
You downvoted your own thing.
I hate that. I hate
just
that.
Just to be humble.
So, anyway, on From Under a Rock, we watch movies that two or more of us have not seen in an attempt to bring us out from under the proverbial rock. This week, that movie was chosen by Steven Steuben Suburban Zarita. I'm sorry, I forgot.
That was a lot.
It's Steven Steuben The Burbs Suburban Zarita.
That's my name.
closing out cycle 6 of From Under a Rock.
Crazy. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe we've been going at this for 6 years already, guys. It's been
we're getting old.
It's been a real ride, but
I have three kids 6, now.
6,000 years.
But I have to say, I have.
I used to have a full head of hair.
I have at least another week in me, so we'll probably be back here for at least one more week.
Maybe. See how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. Depends on whoever wins and what movie is chosen. We'll see. You'll have to find out at the end of the podcast. All new cycle. All new picks. But Steven, you chose Frozen this week. Which,
I did.
I was the only one who hadn't seen, unless Wes, had you seen it before?
No, I saw it. Week? I saw it in theaters.
All right. Okay. So you were not living under the rock.
No.
It was just me.
Just
all alone.
Just Ryan.
But I do live in a rock, so it's okay.
Lunch.
What?
I'll buy my lunch.
Oh, okay.
Wow, so you threw us for a loop there.
This is a split check then? Yes.
So, Steven, tell us about Frozen.
I picked this movie, and I'm going to ask, I want to know what y'all's thoughts going in were, but I originally did not want to see this movie. I went home for, no, I really didn't.
I didn't want to review it.
I didn't want to.
And then I saw it, and I hated it.
I didn't want to watch this movie, and then I went home for Christmas holiday, and my sisters both really wanted to see it, and even though I didn't, I was like, you know what, I don't have that much time with my family anymore, so I'm going to cherish it. I'm going to go see this movie even though I don't want to. I went, and within like the first minute of the movie, I was like, oh, this is going to be really good. And then by the end of the movie, I was like, that was not what I was expecting. I really enjoyed that. And turns out pretty much everyone else did, because it's been all over the internet for a couple months now. So I figured let's get this on the podcast since it's a warm day in California.
What?
And let's watch a movie about ice. Yeah.
Because it's getting cold in here.
And I was just curious what y'all, if y'all had a similar, if you thought it would be good going in, if you thought it would be bad going in.
I was super excited for this movie, actually, because okay. I saw the teaser trailer for it, and the tech demo where they kind of showed off all their different snow effects that they had to painstakingly put into their movie. And I was a huge fan of Tangled, which came out, I think, like 2010 or something.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And, man, like, I was so excited. I'm also a big animation guy, so that's another reason that I got really excited.
Classic McDoodles.
It. Yep, that's true. Classic McDoodles. So I already went into the theater with high expectations. I think it was around Thanksgiving weekend when it came out. So I went and I saw it with my roommate Grayson, and we both, like, as soon as like the Let It Go song played and we saw that whole segment where she's building the ice castle and stuff, we both looked at each other, we're like, holy shit, that was actually awesome. Not that we weren't expecting it to already, it just, you know, it was even better than we anticipated. So that's me.
Wes, what were your thoughts going into the movie?
Before I even saw the movie, I had no idea about it. I didn't see any trailers. I was just completely, I don't know, ignorant or something. I didn't know about it. But I did see, the first time I heard about it was those physics videos you were mentioning. I saw the physics of the snow. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was just super impressive. So that's actually why I wanted to see it to begin with. Not just because it's a Disney movie and, you know, everyone has to go see a Disney movie. Although I do love Disney movies, not to be fair. But I went with a friend, Kathy, who Steven and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I went with Kathy and some other people when I was home for the holidays and saw it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I went into it not knowing if it was just going to be a decent, if it was going to be Cars or if it was going to be The Lion King. And it was kind of somewhere between there for me. It was good. It wasn't like, I wasn't blown away by it. I thought it was really good, and it's fun. It's catchy. You know, all the jokes are all there.
Snappy.
The snowman. But yeah, I thought it was good. I was impressed.
Ryan?
As someone who had not seen it until this morning, I saw the initial trailers that highlighted Olaf, the annoying little snowman.
Yeah, the trailers kind of put me off a little bit, but I still wanted to go see it really bad.
And then, of course, I saw that and I had basically no interest in seeing it. And then it came out and the reviews came out and said, this is the best thing since The Lion King. And so I had, you know, these wild, you know, crazy opposite ends of the spectrum of expectations going in when I saw it. And of course, as tends to happen, my opinion lands somewhere in the middle. I thought it was better than I expected it to be, especially since Olaf wasn't the main character, basically, as that was my fear. I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful movie, as James was saying. And It's Stephen James. As their collective conscience was saying. I thought it was beautiful, but... and I thought the... The songs were a little patchy. The voice work was uneven, you know, some good and some bad. I big fan of Kristen Bell in the role of Anna. Mm-hmm. I thought she did a great job. However, Adele Dazeem, I think is her name.
Adele Dazeem.
Who plays her sister.
Adele.
Adele.
I was like,
Adele
who is she talking about?
Who plays Elsa, yeah.
It's Idina Menzel. But
Anita Menzel.
But
Liza Minnelli.
I was quoting John Travolta when he famously botched her name at the Academy
Awards. Oh, did he really?
Yes. Did you not see that?
No, I missed that.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
He looked like so high, and he was Adele Dazeem.
He's like the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
I'm glad we're the ones who got to tell this to Wes.
I know.
This is an old...
Now you've been taken from under the rock.
I know, joke.
No,
Where Kristen Bell sounded perfect in the role, I thought Idina just sounded like a 45-year-old woman to me, which she
definitely
is.
Does sound much older than the character. Yeah.
And she also... you know, Kristen has the movie voice actor mentality that she brings to it, whereas Idina obviously has theater and Broadway
background,
and that comes across in her singing. I wish the musical director had told her, you know, like the microphone's right in front of you. You don't have to be so bombastic. You don't have to let it go quite so much.
Wes, you get a point for that.
Sweet.
Yes.
I thought the songwriting overall, Let It Go, is pretty catchy, I guess. The other songs were completely unmemorable, though. Jeez,
Debbie Downer over here. Frost Queen over here.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, these are the things that immediately stick out in my mind.
That's okay, I agree.
Going back. Also, you know, it pretends to be a Disney musical in, you know, the continuation in this rich history of Disney musicals, but it's even been in the works for however many years.
Yeah,
and
75.
It doesn't have like a big closing number that I can recall. It's just kind of, what is the last song in the movie?
I don't know.
Ugh, the troll song.
Is that really the song?
That's the last,
the fixer-upper,
the last song.
One?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
There's some there's like a nice instrumental, but the last like actual musical, it's the troll song, which I'm gonna complain a lot about when it gets to me. But yeah,
also,
I see what you're talking about there.
Also, I think the trolls could have come back for one more scene at the end.
Really, I would have.
Like as much as I don't care about their existence. Just from a story's perspective,
they're
I think
kind of floating there.
They show up twice. Also, did. Yeah, I'm just
keep going.
As they come to me. Kristoff, the love interest, he sees her, and he tells her that he saw this happen before when he takes her to try and get her healed. Does he never put it together that this was the same girl that he saw before?
I don't think so.
He never mentions it to her.
Talk about a guy who's been living under a rock.
Seriously.
Whoa. Hey.
Steven, I'll give myself a, point there.
don't get greased.
But that's all negative. Oh, well, I actually have
more. No, keep going.
I have more negative things.
Rip it apart.
At the very fundamental core of the story, I thought it was kind of lacking too. Just the intro sequence. I thought it was, you know, intense and touching how, you know, where what's her name, the sister, almost kills Anna.
Elsa
almost kills Anna, but then their solution to that is to, it seems like the least obvious solution, to hide her away from the world, and just it seems like that could have been solved in better ways.
Yeah, there's then actually
than simply not telling Anna about it ever. You know, I get like, you know, wait a few years until she grows up a little bit, but then they just never told her at all. Instead, kept her apart from her sister for years, and then I don't know.
There's a great YouTube video where they instead solve that problem by taking Elsa to Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Children.
Great, I would have loved that movie.
Yeah, that movie would have been amazing.
Okay, I think that's pretty much all the complaints. Oh, and there's no great villain in the movie either.
Yeah.
I think that's all of them.
You're gonna cut us off while we're talking. Wait, one more. One more.
I might.
One more. No, these are good because this movie is definitely at this point overhyped because it's been all over the place. So everybody kind of idolizes it as this perfect movie. And when you take a step back, it definitely does have its flaws. As good as it is, it's got its flaws.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
It does.
I think it's nice that that I felt like this, from what I remember, Tangled didn't have as many songs as this one did.
I don't think so.
And I feel like that's partially why this movie's been more successful, because I feel like people have missed that, or at least, you know, like kids have missed that kind of like musical animated movie, because there haven't been very many. I can't think of the last animated Disney movie that was like a musical.
Nothing too memorable.
Other than like Tangled, which had like a few songs, but
Princess and the Frog had some, but nothing really sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had some good numbers, but I feel like that movie as a whole is sometimes a little overlooked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out of its time.
Overlooked?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. It feels like that one was not as popular as a lot of the stuff. And I'm not sure if it's because it was 2D animated or... and kids today are used to 3D.
I think that definitely had a large part of it. I thought that movie was pretty good, though, actually.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying that it seems like it.
So, yes, overlooked is the correct word.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. I think the 2D.
I'm the wordsmith. Don't take that away from me. I'm sorry.
I didn't see it, but I'm sure the 2D took away from it. I mean, well, not took away from it, but yeah. I mean...
It was great 2D, but I think what you're saying is it's really not as relevant to audiences today.
Yeah, kids don't...
I was really excited when it came out, too, though, because I was like, yes, we don't get to see this anymore, you know?
Yeah, except with, like, Miyazaki.
But if you like, it's only us, the whole trailer below.
This is the next, you know, this is the continuation of this great hand-drawn 2D Disney tradition.
But haven't Miyazaki's movies done, like, decently?
Yeah. I mean, The Wind Rises is in limited release right now, or it was, but I'm really sad that's actually going to be his last movie.
It's not.
That's what they say.
No, he said he changed his mind.
He did? Really? Yeah. When?
Like, I don't know, in the past month or so.
Oh, didn't hear that.
JK, guys.
JK.
Apparently he's done this several times before where he claims each of his movies is his last movie, and then he comes back for another.
It's a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Well, or it's like Kojima with the Metal Gear games. He keeps doing that too.
Metal Gear 20.
How old is he?
Oh, I'm working on a new game, guys. Guess what? It's Metal Gear.
You're playing as Otacon this time.
Oh, God. You're just like in front of a computer the whole time.
5-hour long cutscene.
But yeah, on the 2D to 3D thing, I do think that Frozen's strongest aspect is its animation. And like I said, it is quite beautiful.
Yeah.
And,
that snow.
Great. Some great looking snow.
I could just look at that snow all day.
That snow.
But who can't do great snow these days? You know, show me some water and fire. That's where it's at.
Pull the Uncharted.
all I'm saying, Pixar does some great fire. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe Disney should
buy Pixar.
Maybe Disney should do some work with Pixar. Is all I'm saying.
I felt like this movie. We're talking about how it's more musical than I guess its spiritual predecessor, which is Tangled. Actually, there is an Easter egg where you can kind of see Flynn Rider and Rapunzel in a frame or two of the movie at the beginning.
Same universe.
Actually, there's a crazy theory where have you heard this one?
I have heard that.
Oh, yeah, please
that,
go on.
That when the parents go across the sea, they're actually going to Rapunzel and Flynn's wedding, and that's why they come to the coronation day, because they feel bad.
Oh, you see, there was a Reddit AMA with the directors of Frozen, and someone asked, hey, where are those parents going? And the directors jokingly replied, oh, they were going to sail around the coast of Africa, but their ship sunk, but a family and their small child were able to escape and make a little fort in Africa, and then Tarzan happened, and I was like, maybe that's what happened.
Hold on, now I've got to picture what they look like.
Yeah. I'll give you a point, James, for that theory, because I have not heard that one.
Someone needs to get on the
crossover,
the Disney timeline, and like figure out the when all of their movies take place.
Disney needs to do their own Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though they already own Marvel.
But what I was saying, I got sidetracked. What I was saying was that this movie, the first time I saw it, it felt like musically, it felt more like a stage play almost, like, because you've got Idina Menzel or Adele DeZema or whatever her name is. you've got her playing essentially one of the lead roles.
Though her part was smaller than I was expecting it to be, actually.
That's true.
She has relatively few speaking lines.
Yeah, that is true. But like, it just felt more, the music just felt more like a,
it felt more like a musical.
Like a Broadway, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that the people who did the music is a husband and wife that actually normally do stage plays and music for that sort of medium. So
that makes a lot of sense.
I'm just wondering if that's why, you know, felt that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely felt more like a musical than a movie, per se.
It's actually going to be a Broadway musical, if I remember correctly.
Oh, why wouldn't it? Why the hell wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's only the most successful animated film of all time.
This is true.
Let's forget about it.
Nothing is sacred.
Let's not go to Camelot.
And I think they're already working on a Tangled 2, or Frozen 2.
Really?
Yeah.
So... does anybody know how this relates to the original story of the Snow Queen?
I was totally going to read it like 2 weeks ago, and I did not.
I heard that the actual Snow Queen myth is quite dark.
Yeah, this is very
like
loose.
All of the original stories are very... Everyone just dies in the original stories. Yeah.
But I think there's like succubi or something. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. God. This is a very loose... I think the only thing it has in common is that there's a queen who has the power of ice.
Yeah.
And that's really it. The whole sister thing isn't in it. Like, if you compare it to The Little Mermaid, which follows the original story much closer, just without all the dark parts and the dark ending, this is way, way...
You mean
way
the suicide?
Different. Yeah. And the pain of stabbed in the legs every time she walks. Yep. And yeah.
We have an email from Stephen Remertha. On the subject of Frozen.
Woo! I just got a Snapchat from him.
I did
probably
too.
Probably about Pokemon.
I did too, actually.
Oh, yeah. Totally about Pokemon.
Hey, Steven here with my somewhat...
Hey.
You got to do it like he does his reviews.
Hey, Smiles here with my somewhat solicited opinion on Frozen. It's overhyped. Let It Go pales in comparison to other movies. Lion King, Princess and the Frog, Beauty and the Beast, and Mulan have more than one good song on their soundtrack. That's a good point, actually. Frozen has Let It Go and possibly Do You Want to Build a Snowman, though I don't.
No.
I like that song.
Yeah. What about the summer song?
It was
cute.
It was touching.
The Olaf summer song. I thought it was funny.
I'll talk about it when it gets
to
me.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty good. While the story was okay, the one thing that makes a Disney movie stand out is its villain, Hans, sucked. His motivation was weak and the rug pulled out from under our feet. Bit and his evil reveal seemed uncharacteristic. So yeah, I guess I will admit, this is me again, not Smiles. I will admit that I did not expect Hans to be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means it was like a clever plot twist, though. It was a little meta of Disney to, as Smiles said, pull the rug out from under us, mm-hmm, by making the handsome Prince Charming into the villain.
Yeah.
Because
there's definitely a formula with the Prince Charming.
So there's something
nice that they changed.
There's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
But Smiles also said it well, that his motivation was a bit lacking and he's a bit uncharacteristic, I feel like. And it was kind of thrust upon us all at once in that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
What a twist moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's a twist for... Because it's a twist, not because it makes any sense.
I don't know. I'd argue it's a twist because you know what to expect with Disney.
Yeah,
that's why I'm saying it's a little meta.
Yeah, so it's just a little more than a twist.
They're like, oh, we always do this, so why don't we do the exact opposite instead?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just they made a conscious effort to do that. Anna is cool, and I like how people are girl power and all that. This is Smiles again. But where's the love for Princess and the Frog? Tiana was a much better heroine, so Smiles is obviously one of the few Princess and the Frog fans. The World of Frozen would be awesome in a Kingdom Hearts game.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
True. True enough. This is pretty long. I'm trying to find the fine points. So that's my rant. Here's a summary if you'd rather not use that on the podcast.
No. Should have read that first.
Should have made that through. Soundtrack not very good compared to other Disney movies. Story was meh. Han's character was uncharacteristic. Belle and Tiana are greater than Anna. Cool potential Kingdom Hearts place. Overall, Frozen is overhyped. Best wishes, Steven Smiles from Eartha. P.S. I will give Frozen... he takes a shot at me. Never mind.
I was really expecting him to
I'm
going to
kill Ryan.
I thought he was going to say something about me not having a battle phase. Inside jokes. We play Yu-Gi-Oh. He skips my battle phases and I hate them.
That jerk.
It was about Street Fighter. So
joke about Street Fighter with Ryan. Yeah. I don't do that.
I was hoping it was going to be one of those things where it's like
we've had extensive arguments on the subject. So
I was hoping it was going to be one of those things that you just like read out loud and it's like, Ryan's an idiot or something like that.
Just nestled in sentences.
I'm a big doo-doo brain. What?
Got me again, Smiles.
Ah, gosh.
Why do I keep reading his emails?
Foiled again.
Thank you for writing those, Smiles.
Yeah.
Appreciate your thoughts. And I do agree with you for the most part. Bit overhyped.
It's definitely overhyped. Everybody's saying it's either this generation's Lion King or the best movie since The Lion King. I don't know if I'd say the best movie since The Lion King because a lot of those others 90s Disney movies were
it's not even
much
better than Tangled.
Better.
No. Maybe. I'd argue that it might be.
I didn't see Tangled. I had no intention to see Tangled.
I think Tangled was far superior to Frozen.
But the reason I didn't see Tangled is the same reason I didn't want to see Frozen was because, as Ryan said, the advertising looked stupid.
I agree. Like, I agree with that one too. I remember thinking the same thing.
If you look at the movie post, like most of the movie posters, or it's out on DVD, Blu-ray, if you look at the box artwork, right smack dead center of the artwork is a gigantic Olaf the Snowman sitting on top of the moose, and then pushed to the side are the actual human characters.
And they're actually buried in snow.
Yeah,
too.
Buried in snow and up in the corner. See them. Yeah, so I'm and all the ads are like featuring Olaf when he really doesn't show up till about halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And the bits that they would advertise that do show the human characters are making it seem like this almost Mean Girls but animated movie. Like, oh, don't mess with my sister. She's angry. I need to go calm her down. And like there's all these like cute guys with their long hair, and I'm like, what are you doing, Disney?
I just want you to talk like that for the rest of the, the rest of that podcast.
We need to do a Mean Girls challenge sometime.
I looked it up. There was like a good trailer that was kind of in the style of these classic Disney movies, and it made it feel like a classic Disney movie with the music and all that, and I was like, why didn't they push that? But I guess we're getting old and audience tastes change. But I didn't want to see this movie. I went in. Within a minute, I felt like I was watching maybe like Pocahontas with the opening music. I was like, okay, we got this kind of nice choral music.
Yeah.
And then it goes into a musical. And
the,
then...
The opening music, by the way, sounded kind of like Celtic to me a little
Celtic,
bit.
Celtic, yeah. Well, I mean, what's...
It reminded me of Brave.
Yeah.
That the Pixar movie that... came out.
I think geographically, I forget where this takes place, but it's like sort of in that Celtic area.
It's
it's
like in
Austria, I think.
Austria?
No, it's like in Norway or Sweden.
Norway?
Or, hold on, no, like, I gotta look this up now.
Or Denmark or something. Where
ethnicity was Hans Christian Andersen?
Where's
Siri?
It's in like one of the Nordic countries.
It sounds Austrian.
Is Celtic not from the Nordic areas? No?
Celtic is like Ireland.
Celtic's,
right?
Yeah, Celtic's in Ireland.
Yeah, okay.
One of us is going to sound like a really big idiot.
Probably
in
me.
Just a second.
I'm pretty sure it's something somewhere on the British Isles.
Yeah, I thought it, yeah.
All right,
Danish.
Danish, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we're all wrong.
Why is it Denmark?
I didn't say anything wrong.
I said Denmark. So.
I said five countries too.
Denmark, Sweden, you were one-fifth right. Australia, Japan, one of these.
America. Obviously, Kristen Bell. America.
But since we've all talked about the music, or what you had something, Wes?
I was going to talk about the snowman. I think the reason they promoted that is to make it seem more lighthearted and comedic. Because I feel like
it's,
when it's.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with a lot of the Disney movies, like, you know, for Aladdin, they, you know, they show the genie and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, they want to, like, promote the comic relief to show you that it's a fun movie. You're going to laugh. And I feel like just the nature of Frozen, since it's cold and it's, like, this icy kind of place, maybe immediately you're kind of, maybe not, you know, you might not immediately associate it with something.
Like a fun.
Yeah, you don't think of
animated,
like,
animated movie.
You might not think of being fun or having fun in the cold.
Yeah.
So it
wasn't.
It
definitely wasn't lacking for comedy.
Yeah,
even
without
Olaf,
it was still really clever.
But there's always
got
to be that character, though, that for, like, the Disney formula to work.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You need that character who's like,
the jokester.
Yeah, look who it is. You know, it's and I like Josh Gad too. Yeah. I think he's awesome. You know, so
he doesn't contribute too much to the story, though. I compare Olaf to Timon and Pumbaa. Olaf, he does one thing.
He's Timon and or
Pumbaa. Timon and Pumbaa in their movie are way, you know, they actually contribute to the fight at the end, and they have a big part in raising Simba and making him into the lion that doesn't want to go home and claim the throne. Whereas Olaf, other than, you know, putting some fire, like stoking a fire for Anna, which arguably might not have done anything, he doesn't do much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he was also a reference, like a something that kind of helped Anna remember. You
That's
know,
true.
Why Elsa was being this way, and then like there's a sort of a connection when she first confronts her there.
Oh yeah, I'm Olaf. I like hugs, Ryan.
But he just exists.
He exists.
You're right. You're like, it's more them who discover it than him acting.
Yeah.
I think it's time to rate it.
Oh my gosh, I barely got to talk. I had so much. Okay.
Sorry.
You can
okay, get, I will give you the abridged.
Get as much in as you can, yeah.
Let It Go, not the best song on the soundtrack. For me, it was Love is an Open Door and First Time in Forever, especially since that has a reprise. Great sense of humor. I hated the trolls. They were really unnecessary, and their song really just stopped the movie completely and went completely against the whole message
of... We're very out of place.
The whole movie is like, you know what? You don't have to marry a man you just met, and you can be your own girl. And they're here going like, oh, marry this guy. This is not a good song. Really didn't contribute much to the movie, other than the one wise troll who was like, oh, yeah, you should probably get that checked out.
don't mind these idiots.
I put up with these guys every day.
I really did like the twist, both with the Prince Hans. Yes, Hans. Hans, I give Disney props for going against their usual tradition, because that formula is kind of old and outdated by now. But also, we didn't mention it, the twist of the act of true love. Everyone's expecting it to be a kiss.
Ooh, yeah.
And you think, okay, it's like a triple twist. First, it's Hans. Oh, Hans, Hans is bad. It's got to be Kristoff.
Landing.
It's got to be 10 out of 10. It's got to be Kristoff then. And you think that they're going to reunite and kiss. And then no, at the last second, it switches and Anna does the true act of love herself by saving her sister, which is the whole theme of the movie. It's like family and sisterhood.
Yeah, you're
like,
oh,
I really like that.
You
was
like
a touching,
double,
touching moment.
It's a really good moment, and they really did something unique. They went for Plan C, as they would say in writing class. I like the movie. I'd say it's this generation's Lion King. It's not the best thing since Lion King.
No,
but it's better than anything Disney's done recently.
Is that your rating?
Yeah, all that. We got to average all that.
This generation's Lion King. That doesn't average into our system, Stephen. You got to...
We have a letter and then just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I guess all that said, I'll just go with the first rating if anyone else doesn't have anything to say.
Please.
I'm going to give this movie an A-.
Okay. I really enjoyed it. I went in expecting a lot, and it's still, for me... Especially leaving, and I watched it quite a few times while it was in theaters. Actually, I really actually kind of love this movie. I will agree that it does have its flaws, and the trolls can kind of be a little bit of a just kind of a, well, that doesn't need to happen. But in my opinion, real quick, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? I really like it because it kind of sets up the whole premise of the story from beginning to end. And I actually would have really liked to see a reprise of that song. But anyways, yeah, so music felt like it was more of a Broadway musical than an actual movie. But I think despite its flaws, it was still a great package, and I think it's deserving of the praise that it's getting, so I'm going to also give it an A-.
You're a great package.
Oh.
Whoa, no. Now.
You know nothing, John Snow.
You want to build a snowman?
Wes, you take it.
I think, well, I'm just going to say my favorite scene of the movie. I think my favorite scene of the movie was when they're in the store. With the guy, he's like,
I thought this was gonna be so stupid going
Someone
in, but it was to, yeah. It was good.
That might have been my favorite
what
moment
did
of the movie.
You call me?
He's like,
might have been my favorite,
almost crying.
What?
But yeah, I went in not, you know, I didn't have much expectations going in. I enjoyed it coming out. It wasn't amazing, but it was enjoyable. It was a good Disney movie. It wasn't bad. I didn't feel bad going out of it. So I'm gonna give it 13.5 sparkly crowns and the bottom half of a snowman.
What does that translate to in a letter grade? I don't know what to do.
That's a
God, Wes help. I don't know.
That's a B plus.
An A B plus.
A B plus.
A B positive.
A B positive.
Ryan, it all comes down to you.
So. See, to me, it obviously, so like Wes said, it really wasn't marketed to us. It mm-hmm. was marketed to young children and families. Having said that, it was better than I thought. Having said that, it was not nearly as good as Tangled, I thought. And the more I, you know, you saw me, the more I thought about it, the more fundamental issues I had with the writing and the music and almost everything. Still a good movie overall. I can't decide between.
You've had this much time, damn it.
He's thinking of more flaws. That's all that keeps popping up.
No. Oh, also, I don't like the horse.
I'm going to go with B-.
Nice.
Wah, wah.
B-. So let's see if I.
Is going to. Wait, that's not right.
Yeah, usually
I mess this up.
Other Michael,
it's a B plus, right?
I think it's like a. Oh, we got two A
minuses.
I
think it's a B plus.
Two A minuses, B plus, and a B minus. Let's do the math here.
I'm literally doing the math right now.
The letter math.
In the meantime,
I think it's a literal B plus. I think it's a B plus because two A minuses average together to an A minus, a B plus, and a B minus
yes,
average to a B.
It is a B plus.
Yeah.
B plus Frozen.
That sounds right. Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Frozen. Time for
the challenge. Hasta la vista.
Guys, do you think Anna could kill the T-1000 or Elsa with her ice?
Yeah, because the nitrous.
Yeah.
Nitrous oxide just freezes.
Ryan, you get a point for bringing that up. That's what I was going for.
Nice.
Steven, what's our challenge for this week?
Well, our challenge, in the great tradition of the Disney animated classics that have been telling us stories for years and years and years, we decided that, you know what, we're pretty good writers. We're going to do some story time of our own.
Story
so,
time?
So Ryan, James, and Wes have written up some of their own Disney-esque stories or Hans Christian Andersen-esque or Mother Goose-esque bedtime stories. And they're going to read them out, and I'm going to give them points.
I like how you assume we're good writers.
You're not?
It's like,
you just show me a picture.
I drew a picture.
Wes, this is a podcast.
Wes,
the audience,
Wes, you're a great writer.
I thought, okay, so I heard
you wrote
parody.
That real good.
Yes.
So I really parodied.
Yes. The point is okay. To parody the genre of Disney. I was
because like, yeah. Anyways,
who would like to go?
Did you
want to
go first, James?
No.
Okay.
Wes, it looks like you have it pulled up.
I do have it pulled up. I also didn't finish it, so I guess I'll wing it at the end, or I'll just like die in the middle of my.
I came prepared, Steven.
Ryan,
if you want me to go first,
you can go first.
Stevens is shaking his head.
James,
me.
did you finish your story
yes,
beforehand? Ryan and James get a point.
Oh, shit.
Oh, do I get up half top. A point? Wait till you listen to it. Maybe you'll like him more.
Here is Ryan Evans's The Indifferent Youth. Once upon a time in the faraway kingdom of Boston, Massachusetts, there lived a king and queen. Their young love was expressed to one another in the most beautiful and bounteous ways, and both were happy in the spring of their youth. One day, while washing dishes in the royal sink, the queen sensed a lull in the conversation and produced a magical stick emblazoned with the ancient symbol seen by all expectant mothers. She smiled nervously. The king feigned happiness.
The end.
The birthday came all too soon, and the kingdom rejoiced as all the kings and queens, mostly the queen's friends, came to offer their congratulations and contributions. The beautiful baby boy Damien flowed with an effervescent river of joy and promise. The queen bubbled with love, and even the king looked on in pride. The years passed in a flurry, and the little boy Damien turned into the child Damien, continuing to uphold all the promises that could be expected of a boy his age. His arms grew, his legs grew, his vocabulary grew. The good queen waited on him hand and foot, giving him everything he desired, and every evening his father, the king, would come home and reap the benefits of seeing his son for 20 minutes before taking his newspaper to the royal throne for the rest of the evening. But alas, such a peace was not built to last. For before the boy had even reached his formative years, a wicked witch, disguised as a traveling evangelist, visited the home of the king and queen. The queen had left the castle just for a minute on a quest to the corner store, and the child Damien was the only one left to answer the door. "Hello, child," the witch cooed. "Are the king and queen home today?" Damien remembered his royal lessons on the subject. "Yes, my father the king is working on the car, and my mother the queen is in the shower," he said through the small crack he had just opened in the door. "Ah, that's just fine, dear, that's just fine. Maybe you could spare me a moment of your time?" "I'm sorry, I really should get back and finish my homework. I need to get into a good school so I can work hard, just like my father the king." The witch flew into a rage and cast off her disguise. She threw the door open with a bang, knocking poor Damien off his feet. "A curse upon you, Damien, and all your generation! The turning of the millennium will signal the end of all hard work and academic excellence!" Damien later related the wording of the curse to his mother, the queen, as they watched the royal guard escort the evangelist into the back of their caged carriages. "What did she mean, mother? Will my work ethic really disappear with the turn of the millennium?" "Of course not, dear," replied the queen, but the corners of her mouth tightened as she did. More years passed, and the royal family had a grand celebration with all the kings and queens of the neighborhood for the turning of the millennium. Little did they realize through their night of drunken debauchery that at the stroke of midnight, a sort of glaze formed over Damien's eyes. Damien continued to grow before their very eyes. His arms grew, his legs grew. But his vocabulary did not. Instead, he began using slang words and words that should never have existed outside the internet. He claimed to have learned them from the other kids. Where Damien had once been able to make A's on all his math and science quizzes, he now struggled to maintain a B average. He studied less and less, trading that time for time with his video games instead. But he still told his friends he had stayed up all night studying for Mr. McMahon's history test. He got a 78. The king and queen stayed up nights talking and worrying about their darling boy. They tried talking to him, imposing study periods each night, paying for additional tutoring and quizzing, shouting, but nothing seemed to be able to break the curse of the millennial. The boy, now a young man, listened to their reasoning at first, then simply became indifferent. Eventually they gave up. The king went back to his throne, the queen to crying over the sink. The boy continued to make average to decent grades and made his way to Royal State College, where he did the same. He majored in art history, was unemployed for a few years after college before getting an office job at a middling corporation, met a nice girl and settled down in a modest cottage in a kingdom nearby the king and queen. One day, the new princess approached the Prince Damien as he was working outside on the royal chariot. "What is it?" he snarled indifferently to her. She hesitated for a moment, then produced a magical stick which bore the symbol that was the product of their love. And they lived indifferently ever after.
So cyclical.
I think Tangled was a little bit better.
could have used a snowman.
No, just kidding. Snowflakes is really good though.
That was good. Who would like to go? I'll go with James because Wes's is probably still crafting the end of this.
No, I'm not crafting it. I can. I don't have anything to... I can't add any more to this.
Oh, is it a PDF?
Yeah. Well, not a PDF. Yeah,
it'll be in your mind.
We'll save the best for last.
I can improvise it.
We'll save the best for last, though. James.
Thanks. okay, so I really parodied a Disney story.
All right.
I think I may have not gone with the sort of...
fan fiction.
The same way that the other two guys went.
No, that's fine. I left it open-ended to give you freedom
to
do that.
Good, because I was worried.
Who did you ship?
Alrighty. So I would like to now tell you the story of Bambo. Which is a Bambi parody.
I almost want to take away the point I just gave you for explaining. Carry on.
The frost had just freshly settled on the tree limbs. His mark lay there, bent and bloodied from the strain of fleeing through the underbrush with a wounded leg. It was a feeble flight. The bullet had cleared right through, but the sheer blood loss, as well as the exertion, had left his mark spent. "Please," it cried. I don't want to die. What did I do to deserve this?" With a last crunch of snow under his hoof, he lifted the hood from his crown of antlers, looking down on the wounded, pathetic human before him. He felt his anger rise like the steam from the freshly spilt blood. He snorted and whispered one word. "Mother." The human's eyes bulged in disbelief. "You? But no, it can't be!" Bambo clutched his sawed-off shotgun and loaded it casually, cocked it, and aimed it down the sights. It didn't always used to be this way. It used to be peaceful. It used to be beautiful. Then the humans took it all away. And for what? To have more strip malls? More cosmetics? More ways to kick Mother Nature squarely through the teeth? Mother. His mother. His justification and his resolve. His passion and his cross. She was the radiant warmth that humans stole as the sun steals itself away for winter. It was for her he fought. It was for her he killed. For months he had been tracking the trackers, systematically picking them off one by one. Now it was all but over, save this sniveling piece of dog shit. "Please, I have a wife, children." The mark wept. Sickening. "My father had a wife. You killed her. She had a child. You see her before you, him before you now." There was no remorse. "You die now. Pick a god and pray." "No! No!" Right between the eyes, the forest still rang as he walked away, slinging his sawed off in its sheath and putting the hood back over his antlers. There was no joy in his suffering's end. No hint of elation, nothing. Just the crunch of snow, the smell of blood, the silence of the trees, and his shame. Forever.
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 I wish I could applaud. And I can't, so minus 5. Why would you do that to me?
That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Wes.
That was intense.
Wes, are you ready to read your project for the class?
Yes. So today, I brought you a story. No, mine is called Generic Disney Story. Once upon a time, there was a main character who lived in a vast kingdom full of boring, less important characters, based on arguably racist stereotypes. However, this main character was unique and different from the other boring people. He, or more likely she, was strong, ambitious, independent, but still naive and overly curious at times, usually getting him into trouble with the parental figures, or lovable animal companion that speaks broken English. Everything was awesome in the kingdom, and everyone was happy, because they accepted their boring, routine way of life, and never asked any questions or tried to change the status quo. But, hidden away like a little bitch, in the shadows, was one villain who was not happy, or awesome. He, or more likely, she, was very jealous of the happy people, because he never got what he wanted in life, and they did. And because of those unfair circumstances, he was obviously deemed a coward and a pussy. Everyone was too oblivious and shallow to care about him, because the world was prospering and peaceful. One day, after a fun musical number, the main character's curiosity got the best of him, or her, and he discovered the ancient, forbidden, life-changing plot device foreshadowing events to come. Shortly thereafter, the parental figures died in a non-bloody fashion. Unless, of course, they were already dead. In which case, the main character started moping around anyway, because foreshadowing is stressful. The lovable animal companion, however, did not die, because look how cute it is. In any case, the main character became even more curious about life and plot devices, and decided to go on an adventure of sorts, learning about himself or herself along the way. Meanwhile, the kingdom was now vulnerable and ripe for the taking, which was exactly what the villain was plotting to do, along with his newly recruited idiot henchmen. While adventuring, the main character met the romantic interest and comic relief in a few silly and touching musical numbers, because the middle of the story would be much less interesting without them.
Ah!
The end.
Oh man, nice. Alrighty,
it's a cliffhanger.
It's great
cliffhanger.
I'm pretty happy with these. Yeah. I'm pretty happy with how these turned out.
All right, so Ryan, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points for your story. I appreciated your commitment to the evil witch's voice.
Whoa! How are you calculating these points?
Very subjectively.
Basically, a good laugh, a good commitment to a character, picking a style. Like, I'll get to your style, which you completely stuck to and got major points to.
How many points did I get for relevant social commentary?
I'll give you one more.
It's collusion.
Alrighty.
collusion is completely allowed on this podcast.
No, you can argue a little
collusion
bit.
Collusion point.
Collusion point.
I like the use of the guardsmen and their
great
their
language.
Chariot that was caged.
Yes, the king and the queen and the magical stick. Great vocabulary.
Hold on, what was the magical stick?
Pregnancy test.
Really?
I didn't get it.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
Oh. You thought that she just really brought out like a magical stick and they lived happily.
Ah, oh, yes, the stick.
The stick. Give him the
stick.
The
stick of love.
Don't give him the stick. You know my dad?
Oh.
I should lose a point for not getting that.
Maybe. And the cyclical nature of it. Good ending. It starts, it just keeps going on and on. Mm-hmm. So you got 6 points for that. James, you were next. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let me double count that. 1, 2, 3.
That can't be right.
4.
That can
five,
be. Oh wait,
six,
no.
7. Nope. You got 8.
That's
oh,
3.
Yeah.
That's
I
a
quit.
3.
Nope.
All right,
dude. Bambi, Rambo, Bambo, amazing.
I think this needs to be an animated like short. Bambo.
You heard it here first.
That's good.
Geez, you picked a style and went right for it. And side note, I like how we all picked like different takes on what to parody. It was good. Good group effort.
I was very concerned.
But yeah,
once
that was great. Great style.
Really great grittiness there.
great dialogue. And I just laughed way too many times. So that was an 8 points.
An 8 pointer.
An 8 wow. pointer.
8 point play.
8 point shot.
Wes, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 4.
I got 4.
Wes, no points. No, you got 4. That was good.
Got 4.
You really boiled down the Disney dynamic down
Thanks,
to its
man.
Core. Especially when it came to bits about the parental figures didn't care and were later killed or maybe were dead the entire time.
That last bit where it's like, the second half would have been a lot less interesting without them. It's like, wow, cutting right to the core.
That's pretty true. Probably, yep, nope, that literally applies to Frozen.
Yeah.
Which is where you got that 4th point.
Yeah, while I was doing it, I kept going back and like thinking of all the movies and seeing if it applied to all of them. I was like, yeah, Disney.
No, there was Lion King.
Like Lion King,
there.
King
there was
yeah,
Frozen,
Scar doing
was,
that.
Tarzan, kind of.
Yeah, Little Mermaid, Ursula. Little Mermaid,
although, kinda. if Mufasa did fall down to like in those wildebeest like stampede,
he would
be smashed up.
Yeah, he just kind of like...
That was the first time you see like a dead body on. Like that. Anyways, you got 4 points.
You can't want to see a dead body.
You can't want to see a dead body. So that brings the totals to Wes. You come out with 5. James comes out with 8, and Ryan comes out. No, James comes out with 10, and Ryan comes out with 8.
Woo!
James, you've won.
James wins.
For try hard. The podcast. I can't applaud. It's a good.
I appreciate you trying.
I tried.
Okay, so this next week, I think we're gonna watch us some Goodfellas. Because I think who has
we got
seen
a bunch
this?
Of good fellas on the table right
good,
here.
We got some good fellas.
We got some good fellas.
Some good fellas.
Some good fellas.
Who hasn't seen
here?
It? Have you not seen
I
it?
I have not.
Okay. I don't know if Michael's seen it. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. Okay. I don't think Michael has seen it.
Okay. That should be 2 from I pull out from under the rock.
I've
have
seen
you
it.
Seen it, Wes?
Wes. Wes.
Yeah, I like it.
You're it's a good film student.
Joe His real name is also Michael.
Pesci. Hey, Pesci, say Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia.
All right. That's an excellent choice, James. Excellent pick.
I'm looking forward to it.
Great one.
Me too.
That people should have seen by now.
Yeah, Steven.
What? It's
not my fault.
What, you think because you got a broken hand, that means you shouldn't have seen Goodfellas by now?
Fellas.
What?
Oh, man, maybe I should have picked The Departed.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that scene in that movie with the broken hand?
Yes.
Broken
yes.
bones yes. bother me now.
Well, I should have picked that one, but it's going to be Goodfellas. We can do more Scorsese later.
Okay. All right. So be sure to write in fuarock@gmail.com just like Steven did for Frozen this week. Let us know what you think about Goodfellas, and I'll probably read them. Or tweet us at fuarock podcast. Steven, what's going on the YouTubes?
I'm going to be doing some vlogs from Austin, and I'm excited to start doing skits again, so we'll be getting back rolling into production now that I'm going to have 2 hands again. So we've got a huge pile of scripts that we've been building up while my hand's been broken, and I'm really excited to get these produced for you guys. And, well, James, you already mentioned you're doing a YouTube channel. So James is also doing a YouTube
Woo!
Channel.
It's called Jameson's Gamesons. No, I'm not lying.
Jameson's Gamesons. So, yeah. Is there Jameson James, involved?
James Games was already taken.
So, if you like Hyperdrive, go.
I swear to God, that's the whole
you
reason.
You should like be drunk every time you play and just drink Jameson.
Jameson may or may not sponsor this, but I totally am going to drink it anyway.
Welcome to Jameson's Gamesons.
I'm not even going to. I don't even need to watch any of the videos. I'm just going to go on your channel and read the channel
comments.
Title.
Oh.
Read the channel title over and over again.
Here's like a comment that's just Jameson's Gamesons over and over again.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Getting back to Hyperdrive. That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right. Wes, thank you again for joining us.
No problem, man.
Yeah, it was great to have you.
You want to play D&D later?
Yeah, I'd be down. Yeah.
You want to do that?
I'd be down.
Cool. Let's do that.
Let's do it. Okay. You want to do it, James?
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm James McDoodles.
Steven Zarita, Stupin Suburban.
The Burbs.
The Burbs.
I'm Michael Bell, Wesley.
And I'm Ryan. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under Air Rock.
What just happened, guys?
James was, I like joined in halfway through and James just like started cracking up.
This is so embarrassing. Let's try again.
From Under Air Rock.